coming live from West New York, New Jersey. Respect to all the real hip-hops in the world. You're listening to the world famous Hip Hop Digest Show. Digest Show. Digest Show. Digest Show. Digest Show.
The establishment has a concept of what a black should be. And in order for us, and the average black, when he reads a script to get a job in radio or television, he knows the black lifestyle that's demanded of him. And he tries to play that part. And we pass on these negative concepts to our youth. It's not the actors that's hurting, it's the people that's hurting.
Move on to the next thing. And the next thing is definitely, how do we correct it ourselves? How do we stop examining the fact that each time any one of us comes out of the box, that it is total representation for the entire race? That's a trap. Don't fall into that trap.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And it's E Green. What up, brothers? It's been a minute.
It's been a long time. Shouldn't have left you. We have a strong show to step to.
That's what's up. Welcome back.
We're here.
No doubt. So for just your full disclosure, your boy Killer had personal issues that I had to navigate and shit. So I had to put the show by the wayside. I want to thank E Color and Kurt G. You know what I'm saying? Holding me up. Appreciate that.
No problem, bro. You know that.
So,
no doubt.
It's all love.
I thought you was going to be off that Joe Budden or something, huh?
Thought you was going to come back and be like, this is my shit, nigga. Y'all niggas told me I'm the Johnny Carson of this shit.
So, all that being the case, first topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Joe Budden fires his co-hosts, Rory and Mal, off the Joe Budden podcast. I'm covering this, and I know it's old. So first of all, we've been out for a few weeks. So I'm just prefacing it. A couple of topics, got some age on them. But since we just getting back in, we're going to wade in the shallow end of the pool first. But anyway, but to this Joe Budden thing, obviously there's symmetry between the three because it's three people here. You know what I'm saying? Just like the Joe Budden podcast. But I gotta say, I watched the co-hosts as they explain their side of the story. And as you can easily know that this is over, A, number one, ego and money. Money. Ego and money.
More than likely.
Nothing but ego and money.
So, with all that being said, they're explaining their side of the story. And the thing that got me was that, you know, what the contract was or what it was is they got paid per percentage. Okay, the co-host. They got paid per percentage. So, whatever the podcast made, they took a certain percentage. Okay? What that percentage was, they didn't say. And I think when things started to go downhill is when they started asking their personal lawyers and accountants, okay, what's the bottom line so we know what we're supposed to get paid? Whether if they bring in $100 or $1,000 or $500,000, you need to know what the bottom line is so you know what you're getting paid.
For sure.
Joe Budden's like, fuck that. The fuck y'all niggas need to know? Man, this is my shit. You know what I mean? Disrespectful, too. Treating niggas, you know, like damn, not even respecting niggas like grown men and shit.
Treating niggas like McDonald's fries.
Nigga, I'm just saying, yo.
When they cold.
So,
yeah, I can't call it. They've been with him from the beginning, haven't they?
Well, I mean, they each came in. But see, what I think that they found happen is that those three had the symmetry. There were other guys in there, in and out or whatever. But with Roy and Mal, they had this. They gave the difference, just like our show. You know, everybody comes in from a different angle. and puts a different light on it. And I think that, you know, but then see Joe, you know, I believe them more than I believe Joe. Because A, number one, I do believe that Joe got some issues.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he be on some, he go off on some different shit. So I do really believe that about him. But two, when it come down to it, and I think that the brother, who is that? Is that Mal? I think he let something slip when he said that Royce hollered at him and gave him some real background on Joe and was like, you know, basically, you got to watch that nigga.
Got to take 50% off the top.
Oh, my God. Yeah, son. Mm. So
50% off the top and then give you a percentage of the other 50%.
So, indeed. So, G, I mean, I you know, what do you think about that, man? I don't
be... My whole take on it is I'm pretty much coming in where Egree usually shows up at. Niggas pop in on a contract and you sign some shit, nigga. That even if that's your man's and that's whatever, even if it's family, and if you ain't seeing no paperwork up front right off the top, then there's an issue right there already.
Well, they had the paperwork.
Then there shouldn't be an issue if they had the paperwork. They should know what the hell's going on.
And that was the problem, is that they were asking for the numbers. They were asking for the bottom line numbers so they know what they were supposed to get paid.
So they didn't know then.
So Button's people apparently was frogging. Some numbers got sent out, weren't the real numbers. Niggas was like, yo, again, you know, Roy, the other kid was like, yo, really, it wasn't even about money for him, you know what I'm saying? Because he tried, he said he was in the middle. He said he felt like, look, let's just kind of keep the podcast going. We can work out this other shit or whatever. But see, that was the issue. They had the paperwork was what it was. But they seemed like Joe was frogging on the numbers. I want to know, I get paid by a percentage. What's the bottom line, nigga?
And that's not a bad ask, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, that's not a bad ask. It definitely isn't. And they had the right to ask him, but the nigga is who he is. And like he told that, Royce told that nigga, you got to watch him. Mm. You got to know what you're dealing with. And you've seen this nigga's documented as to the type of person that he is and how he gets down.
So is he finished?
Who, Joe? No, yeah. Joe's not done.
Nah, he's not finished.
Joe's not done. He is the show.
I tell you what. See, I think that's why those other two cats ended up on the show, because when he left Everyday Struggle, I think that it was so much just him and just one thing. He needed to break that shit up a little bit.
He's going to do it again. He's going to get some other niggas in there.
Yeah, but...
But they're going to know this time around that these niggas only get... You'll get what I give you, nigga.
Yeah, but he's just going to have niggas up there that's just doing that monkey shine. You know what I mean? They're not going to challenge him. See, I'm good or for bad. And trust me, I'm going to tell you, on this show, Real Talk Fam, the people who listen to this show, motherfuckers, yo, sometimes we just do not fucking agree.
Right. and it is what it is. Niggas got their opinion, and I'm sticking to it, nigga.
And yeah, niggas be heated.
Niggas back here took off his jacket. Yeah. He got so damn heated.
He got hot.
And nigga was like, motherfucker.
You gonna let me get these young boys some shine.
So, that being the case, yeah, I think it is unfortunate. I always appreciated the Joe Budden podcast. I liked it. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't listen to it the full thing because I thought them niggas was on some dumb shit a lot of times. But when they really did cover music, it was pretty insightful. So, yeah, I don't think Joe's finished. But I'll tell you what, he's going to have to find co-hosts that compliment him and can challenge him. Because if this is just a one-way highway, it's going to burn out. I'm going to tell you that right now. So,
It'll just keep repeating itself.
Right. He'll get some people in there to challenge him. Then he'll tolerate them for so long, and he'll be like, get the fuck out of here, nigga. It's my shit.
So, yeah, that's what's up, yo. All right, yo, getting back into it and shit. We still got some rust to shake off and shit, but we getting back into it. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this is just a small thing that I saw on the text chain a long time ago. This is light speed years, you know, as the text chain go. Shout out to everybody on the text chain and shit. Your boy, DJ Vlad, and it really has only thing to do with the lack of details. And maybe it's just a small detail. I see your boy Vlad up there talking about this Lil Nas X Satan shoes and his Lil Nas X getting into the Satan shit, which is really not the topic because you know how I do. I start this off to make a whole nother point. Vlad said something to one of the members of 3-6 Mafia.
So he was interviewing 3-6 Mafia.
He was interviewing 3-6.
Crunchy Black, I posted that shit.
Okay, there you go.
That was a while ago. Yeah.
So he's talking to Crunchy Black, and Vlad says very nonchalantly, what do you think about Nas X, you know, dabbling into the occult, you know, with these Satan shoes with human blood in them or whatever. And then Vlad says, again, nonchalantly, you know, how do you feel about it considering, like, you were the one of the first? I think he said one of the first or the first group to do that, hence the name 3-6 Mafia. 3-6 is being the number of Satan, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I immediately was like, stop. I mean, we make all kinds of mistakes on this show. I know it. But God damn it, we try to at least get the details right. Okay? So, this shit got under my skin. I'm like, okay, fuck it. I know that 3-6 Mafia wasn't the first niggas to start talking that devil, or what they used to call it, horrorcore. Mm-hmm. Okay? At that time. So, I actually mentioned this to Kurt G.
Right.
First thing Kurt G said is Gravediggers.
Yeah, I said Gravediggers.
You said Gravediggers. See, I thought you was wrong, but guess what? You were right. You were right. I went and looked up previous groups who were in what they called horrorcore way before 3-6 Mafia. No disrespect to them. This is the order of album release, okay, to horrorcore groups. First was Gravediggers, August 9th, 1994, 6 Feet Deep, okay? So I thought it was the second group. But they were second. The Flatliners. Okay? Y'all be like, who the fuck is Flatliners? No hits, no nothing. I know they were signed to Def Jam, and you'll find out why they were signed to Def Jam in a quick second here. They had a record called USA, released September 6, 1994. So the Gravediggers actually beat them by a month. But still, 1994, the Flatliners on a Def Jam. Okay? And the reason why they were on Def Jam is one of the members by the name of Jamal Simmons was Russell's nephew. So it was a fucking ringer any fucking way.
Wow.
So, yes, one of the MCs was Russell's nephew.
He was
so,
like, fuck it. Go ahead and give him a D.
Yeah, just fuck it. Dude, put the record out and shit. Get him out of my office and shit.
Early Diggy, huh?
Early Diggy, yes. Early Diggy. I think he had a little bit more talent than Diggy, though. You know what I mean? But anyway, the Flatliners, they were real.
Tell me nothing about no motherfucking Diggy Simmons.
You know, you remember them days? So the Flatliners on Def Jam, real horrorcore and shit, that type of thing, or whatever. And then next comes 3-6 Mafia with Mystic Styles in 1995. Now, again, no disrespect to 3-6 Mafia, none of that. No, this is not set up to diss them or anything. I'm just saying in the order of how horrorcore or the occult comes in as far as hip-hop, as far as I know. Now, that's taking a reasonable stab at the facts. I'm asking you gentlemen, why does Vlad not have to get the facts right? And it ain't just Vlad. Why does people who cover hip-hop rarely get the real facts right when it, and they ain't even making an honest attempt at getting the facts right.
Because they don't have to. Because most of the listeners that listen to them don't know shit about what the fuck them niggas is talking about. They just listening to them for entertainment purposes only.
So, Swerve, it doesn't matter. I mean, I gotta think that this is that's what's the main problem wrong with hip hop is that now you got cats who would walk around and say, "Oh, when it came to that devil shit, 3-6 Mafia, digger, and the grave diggers," and I know the Flatliners never had any hits, but god damn it, you know what I'm saying? Let's make an honest attempt here. What's up, Swerve?
Their audience, it has no concern about any of. You're talking about
right all no that Flatliners great biggest shit nigga what the fuck is that
no concern that you said 94 right
yes right. Sir,
a lot of them were born in 94 so they don't care about none right. of that.
That's all they know is if you flatline you're gonna get a grave dug for your ass.
Mm. There, boom, there you go.
Mm.
And then you got the 3-6 Mafia buried. There you go. So that's why they can get away with it. If they were talking to some folks, you know, some scholars, some people who have some hip hop wherewithal, yeah, they're gonna get clogged on it immediately. In a bad way. Maybe not even a bad way, because just like you two, you know, you give Curtis props because he got it right. But
yes,
you know, but there was a nice little discourse there, and it was clarified. But yeah, to somebody who has no idea who the grave diggers or flatliners are, don't even know who Esham is, they, none of that, they don't care, they just care about right now, so they don't have the even concept to question what this dude or a lot of these people are saying.
Right, so they just say it and niggas just take it for the gospel, like, yep, he know what he's talking about.
Okay. Wow, that's what's up, man. Man, that's just incredible, yo. That's your boy, Vlad.
The Viper.
He didn't get canceled. He's still rocking, the even snake, though.
Oh, he ain't getting canceled, B. Mm. He got too many people that like to listen to him. And he been on,
go on there.
And he got a lot of people that come on there that people want to listen to.
That's for damn sure. No doubt. So, of course, as we get back into it, like I said, try to shake the rust off of whatever we have. Some kings who passed away, and we want to honor them. First, we want to say rest in peace to Mr. Incomparable himself, Paul Mooney.
Yes, sir.
Hails from Shreveport, Louisiana. What I found is he was called a social critic and actor, best known as a writer and a comedian, writing for Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, and Dave Chappelle. That's like the best of every fucking generation.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah. I mean, listen to them names. Richard Pryor, Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, and Dave Chappelle. And Paul Mooney's in the background, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Writing.
Ghostwriting.
Whether if it was ghostwriting or just giving with the comic equivalent of street credibility.
Right.
Paul Mooney is there.
Like, and even doing his own shit.
Yeah, doing his own shit. Even the best of every generation. So that shows you his talent. I know that us on the Digest or whatever, I know we used a Paul Mooney intro, and it was the Paul Mooney talking about popcorn chicken.
Yeah.
When Hammer was getting off of the dancing for chicken.
Popcorn chicken.
We had a cool Paul Mooney story. Me and Doc, Tommy, when we worked down there at the industry, DuPont Circle, we were walking at lunch. And who was right there on the corner at DuPont Circle? Paul Mooney. I'm like, hey, Mr. Mooney, how you doing? You know, talk to him. He's real cool. Talk for a few minutes. And he pulled tickets right out of his pocket. Gave me and Tommy tickets to his show down there at the DC Comedy Joint. It was very cool, yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Remember that, I'm sure. I don't think he went to the show I went to, but I went, and it was very funny.
I bet. So I know Tex Chain Cats was posting clips or whatever, you know. I mean, but just, I'm sorry, yo. Whether it's that popcorn chicken that we use as an intro or that can't play the Rambos until you stop playing the Sambos.
Man. He's got a million of them.
I know. He got a million of them, my nigga. So yeah, what a huge loss. What a you know, big time, you know what I'm saying? That Negro Adamus shit.
Negro Adamus.
You know what I'm saying?
But they claim a nigga.
Yes! Oh my god, yo. I'm saying, like you said, he got a million of them, yo. Right. He got a million of them, yo. Yo, Mr. Paul Mooney, rest in peace, God. You know what I'm saying? I just, yo, that's a big loss, yo. That's a big loss right there, yo. No doubt. And the next person who passed away was Captain Rock.
Captain Rock. He Rock.
Yes, sir. Rest in peace, Captain Rock. I couldn't find a Wikipedia, so I'm assuming he was from New York City. I didn't find any details about his death or anything like that. But either way, we are here to honor him. And I'm here to honor him specifically because there's guys like Captain Rock that are so important to the history of hip-hop that you know nothing about.
Yep.
You know nothing about. You would say, oh, Captain Rock, he was an electro artist. Okay, yeah, he was. All right? Mm-hmm. But Captain Rock was before... Captain Rock really had three concrete 12 inches that just played front to back all year long and then some. Okay? Oh, yeah. I'm going to start with The Return of Captain Rock. Okay? I think I got the 12 inches right here. Oh, yes, I do.
What do you know?
What do you know?
The Return of Captain Rock, vocal and instrumental. What can I say? I did want to set up the play clips on the show, but that's okay. I'm thinking Kurt G might bless us at the end of the show, but I don't know.
I can do that.
All right. The next record, okay, was Cosmic Blast. Now, it's probably my favorite of which Captain Rock records, Cosmic Blast. It's a full multi 12 inch here. You got the Cosmic Blast, but then you got the Pure, the 3 minute and 30 seconds, the Pure, which is nothing but drum beats, beatboxing, and cutting.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And that's, you can rock that.
And you can rock both sides. You know what I'm saying? Back to back. And then third come Captain Rock, Future Shock. Rockin' the Future Shock. Nigga! Nigga, would I get in that bag, nigga? Forget it. Forget it. He's more than an electro artist. It was a guy who, again, I'm not saying he's a fucking lyrical world beater and shit, but I remember those lyrics, you know what I'm saying? And I remember the presentation of those records, okay? And you can't talk about Captain Rock because you also got to mention something very critical. My paper fell on the floor. Hold 2 seconds.
Uh-oh. Got to get the notes.
Yeah, I got to get the notes. You can mention Captain Rock of the 312 inches because part of what I call 12-inch history, 12-inch culture, which is so important to the development of hip-hop, okay? Hip-hop withers and dies if people like Captain Rock don't in succession do three records. And people today, I know three records is a week's worth of work for most people today. But nah, these are all year-round joints from 83 and 84, playing well in 85. All three joints. It's only till late 86 when you're not listening to Captain Rock anymore. Okay? But like I was saying, you can't talk about Captain Rock without talking about NIA Records. Okay? Mm-hmm. NIA Records was a label that he recorded on. It's a few people who recorded for NIA Records, but the thing about NIA Records was who founded NIA Records and who did the mixing on these records. First of all, it was founded by the Aleem brothers. Okay? Now, the Aleem brothers themselves have a whole history in music, which I won't get into. Probably one of the funniest stories is the Aleem brothers actually shared an apartment with Jimi Hendrix. Okay?
Damn.
Yes. But anyway. But the Aleem brothers, who, along with you know, it was a, it started out kind of as a disco label, but really found its way and footing in hip hop. Sparky D recorded, obviously, you know, the Aleems themselves, Release Yourself, that was probably their biggest hit. Things of that nature. Hooked on Your Love was a big hit. But also Mr. Leroy Burgess, okay? Shout the Diff. As you learn about house music, you're going to learn about some Leroy Burgess. But more on that lesson later. He was also down with the Aleems at NIA Records, okay? But what you got to realize is all three of those 12 inches, okay, guess who they were mixed by?
Bob Powers?
Good guess, though.
I ain't about to guess. I'm okay. Gonna listen.
A very young Molly Maul learning his craft.
Wow.
Damn right, but it says it right on the records. I mean, no doubt, no disrespect, but I'm just saying, you overlook that type of shit. Molly Maul mixed those Captain Rock records. And Molly Maul knows the Aleems, and he knows Leroy Burgess, and I know because he mixed those records, he knew Captain Rock. And as much as we hold Molly Maul in high self-esteem, Molly Maul had to learn the craft somewhere. And he learned it right over there at NIA Records with the Aleems. Rest in peace, Captain Rock. History that you don't know, but you know you needed to know it. God damn it.
And he, it, and he meant it. That shit.
Damn.
No doubt, indeed. So next time we're going to Hip Hop Digest, where am I? Oh, this whole show is really on some let the fucking veterans in and shit. Fuck it. You know what I mean? So now that all the hubbub is over and shit, you know, that record Wet Ass Propaganda. I thought it was a good time to highlight the veterans who are getting paid. Okay, it's a popular record. I'm sure the money came rolling in like waves on the shore. Okay, but there's some veterans that's getting paid. And I'm going to tell you a story about one of the veterans when it came down to Wet Ass Propaganda. What is the real name on that? People were wondering, well, what is he talking about? Kurt G. Please?
WAP.
Yeah. Leave it at WAP.
We're going to leave it there.
Just leave it at WAP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wet Ass Propaganda. We like that.
All right, my man. So WAP, a big record coming in, whatever. But the record has the sample, and only old heads would have realized it. Whores in This House.
Oh, yeah.
And if you... I ain't gonna say grew up around here. All you had to do is live in the Baltimore, D.C. area, or as they like to say is area. I don't know if I had that right.
Area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you live in an area, you know that record as a Baltimore club classic. Okay? It was released by DJ and radio personality Frank Ski in 1992.
Wow, Frank Ski got a check off that shit?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that, but I'm going to see if I can work it out for you. But yes, Frank Ski, I'm sure, has gotten a huge check from the Wet Propaganda record, okay? Because it was his record on his label, Decco Records, okay? But the person whose voice you hear, okay, is a gentleman by the name of Al T. McLaren. Okay, Al T. McLaren was a young, giving you some background, was a young teenager growing up in Brooklyn. And his early hip hop, his early influence in hip hop came in very early because he was an MC for the Jam On production crew.
Damn.
Yes, sir. Ooh. Who later on became the group Nucleus.
Damn.
Jam On It.
Yes. Knew Frank Ski from when Frank Ski would visit his people in New York by way of Florida. That's why you got a lot of hybrid with Frank. Because, you know, Frank lived in Miami, and I guess his pops lived in New York or something to that effect. Okay, so, but anyway, they met when they were teenagers back in New York. So anyway, so this Mr. McLaren... He completes his military service. He, you know, grows up like most of us, went into service, got out of the service, and returned to New York and became an A&R for Warlock Records.
Damn, Warlock.
Yes. And was very instrumental in signing and bringing through the following people through Warlock Records: Todd Terry,
House,
saxophonist Kim Waters, and PM Dawn's Prince B.
Is that a drift on memory?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd die without you. So, no doubt. So anyway, Mr. McLaren was a talented guy himself. You know what I'm saying? Always loved the music, stayed around the music, was an A&R for Warlock Records, and bring in big names. You know what I'm saying? Reasonably big names. Okay? Okay, so even though Frank Ski, so he tells a story about recording Whores in the House. Him and Frank Ski sat around and thought about the record concept together, but it was Mr. McLaren who did the recording of the record basically by himself. Frank Ski came in and did some background vocals, but it was basically Mr. McLaren who did Whores in the House. And when I tell you, it's not an understatement to tell you that even though Doo Doo Brown was a big record, but Whores in the House and on the B-side of that 12-inch was like a Miss Tony record, that right there is a decades-long Baltimore club record.
Damn, Miss Tony, you know that's Baltimore. Tony. It's the club.
Yes.
Live in an alley with no place to go.
Yeah, that's Baltimore club, my nigga.
No yes, doubt. Sir. So anyway, oh yes, it was a Whores in the House, and the B side of the record was Tony's bitch track. Well, either way, that shit. Either way, this shit blows up big in Baltimore or whatever. They initially agreed that the single will be called Frank Ski and Al T's Club Track, but it came out as Frank Ski's Club Track, and Mr. McLaren's contributions were hidden from public record. As it turns out, he did get paid for that. He got a little bit of cash, and I think he got a Korg keyboard out the deal. I mean, that's the equivalent of Puma sweats and Newports.
Damn.
Colt 45.
So anyway, but him and Frank Ski all these years remain cool. According to Mr. McLaren, Frank is like, you ain't got to worry about it. I'm going to hold you down. When the checks start coming in, you definitely going to get it. Don't worry about it. I haven't heard any beef between the two veterans, but it just, again, this is a let the veterans story. Wet ass propaganda, as much as the young bulls and the young women out there, fuck you old niggas, but they constantly got to pay some old niggas. Frank Ski and Mr. McLaren, they should be getting checks right about now.
Oh, they should have already got checks.
Because he's doing the same thing in Atlanta he was doing in Baltimore, just running the radio. So he had the name, right? So that probably has something to do with it, too.
Cardi B and him don't know nothing about no Baltimore club. What are you talking about?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the way back. I'm going to push the button way back past Nucleus when you were first talking.
Okay.
About and how Frank Ski's name was the one on there, and how the other man got the Pumas and the Cools. But Frank Ski was such a presence in Baltimore, and when they made that record, obviously he was going to get all the shine from it. So, but again, it always boils down to the paperwork. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but at that point, he wasn't even really blamed. He was like, even back then, we were just young men having fun. You know what I'm saying? Just really not worried. It's just like one of those, you fucking never know, I guess. And they probably never thought that record would be sampled by artists like fucking Cardi and Meg. And, you know, everything they touch turns to gold. You know what I mean? So there's money to be had.
True that.
So, you know, no doubt about it. So I'm hoping Frank gonna live up to his word and bless his man, considering that's his voice on the record. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And I know Frank holds all the paperwork because it was on his label. And I'm sure, like you said, they probably should have already cash checks because they had to contact the copyright holder.
Well, way back in the distant past when that record WAP came out, yeah, he was grinning from ear to ear. So, obviously, some checks.
Who was grinning?
Frank Ski.
Oh, okay.
that's to say if he still owns it, if he didn't sell the rights.
Oh, I don't think. Nah, I don't. I think. Nah. I mean, Decker, who's gonna buy that shit?
Your boy and them, them niggas that buy up every fucking thing.
trust me when I tell you, even them is gonna turn their nose up at that local Go-Go or Baltimore Club Records because it's not worth anything to them. They only buy in big catalogs. They not spending money on that other shit. So, Frank got it. So, all right, indeed. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, this is going to be a quick one. Jay-Z leaves the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in a very confusing Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class. I'm not here to qualify anything, but once again, it's broken down to different categories. Performer category, Influence Award, Musical Excellence, and then the Ahmet Erdogan Award, which is a which is actually he himself. I could do a whole show on him by itself, that award named after him, and I know I'm butchering his name. But anyway, Clarence Avant is going in under the, basically under the boss, you know, Clarence Avant, you know who he was, Black Godfather.
Yes, sir. That's who I based my shit off of, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's who, he's going in under that award. LL Cool J finally gets in.
Well, I mean, there probably might have been an uproar. Jay got in before this nigga. Come on.
The fact is, see, the problem is, just like anything else, and we're going to really qualify this, especially with the next topic, is that Jay-Z leaves the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The fact that Jay-Z is going in above, before, or anything else is really a slap in the face to some to real hip-hop niggas. Not that Jay wouldn't have got in, and he would have, but they gotta sell it. And we've been talking about this, and we talk about that shit, whether it was hip-hop honors, or Billboard, or Grammy, or anything else. Fucking somebody has to sell this shit. And Jay-Z has to sell it. Be dead ass honest with you. You take Jay-Z off the list, right? Who sells this shit? Tina Turner sell it? How about Carole King, the Go-Go's, Foo Fighters, and Todd Rundgren? Can they sell that shit? No. You know, the motherfuckers at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, like, who the fuck is going to sell this shit? Who are the advertisers going to come flocking for? Okay? Are they going to come flocking for the early Influence Award winners? Guess who got lost in the fucking shuffle? Kraftwerk.
Wow.
Fucking Kraftwerk is playing the fucking third string. Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk is the fucking bass model of Miami
bass.
Are
you fucking kidding me? Kraftwerk playing third string.
Crazy.
Oh my fucking God, nigga. Say it again, G.
They are the bass model for what Miami bass became.
Amen. Okay. Charlie Patton, guess who's playing the third string with Kraftwerk? Gil Scott-Heron.
Jeez. Yeah.
They're playing third string. LL Cool J, Billy Preston, Randy Rhoads.
They got a lot of big fucking names in there.
Oh, big names that we know them. And I know the real.
They were huge when they was huge.
And I know the real rock and roll niggas is looking at Randy Rhoads and like, you're shitting on Randy Rhoads. You're shitting on Randy Rhoads. Forget about Jay. You're putting the Go-Go's over Randy Rhoads? They're pulling their hair out, and they done said, fuck the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They've been said, fuck it. They've been said, fuck it a long time ago.
I almost said Richard Simmons. Gene Simmons was tripping again. He was mad about something. I didn't read it. I just saw that he was spouting off about it. So I said, oh, he's mad. So,
like I said, it wasn't like Jay wasn't going to get in. But this is them having to sell it. And this is when you get into a strictly commercial culture. You've forgotten about everything else, and you gotta put Hove in, and then next year you gotta put another, naming. It's just like Hove to be able to sell it. Guys is getting shitted on. I'm just talking about from a hip hop perspective. LL Cool J, of course, that is on record. Okay, LL Cool J, that's on record. But Kraftwerk, my nigga, yo, Kraftwerk is too big in hip hop, too big in the history of hip hop to be fucking playing the back bench.
There is no Planet Rock without Kraftwerk.
There's no Miami Bass. There's no Planet Rock. Shit. There's no. We just got done talking about Captain Rock. There's no electro category. Period.
There's no Electric Kingdom.
None. None of that shit. If it's not for Kraftwerk, none of that shit. Come on, B. And you got them niggas playing way back bench. Gil Scott Heron?
G.
B. I know he's not an MC. He's too important for hip-hop, though, and I know he's not a classic MC. I mean, but the Lost Poets, I mean...
He's a footprint in this shit, though.
Oh, nigga.
Oh, there's some samples in hip-hop.
Oh, see, I was getting ready to say, yes. Yeah, you don't want to get to the Gil Scott sample game, okay? You don't want to get there and tell me how maybe unimportant he is. Be no disrespect. I know Hov. I know who he married to. I fucking get it. But this is fucking ridiculous. And I'm getting ready to fucking hook up with the rock and roll niggas. And just like, you're right. You know, some people might look at it as a white black thing. Or this, that, and the third or whatever. Nah, B. We talking about value here. We talking about the value and the cheapening of the music. You know what I mean? No disrespect, man. Hov is a fucking trillionaire, nigga. He don't need this shit.
It's not about the artist. It's about the committee.
There you go.
Because all of them deserve to be acknowledged. All of them that are getting in, right? But how the committee is doing it is just making it controversial, so to speak.
All right.
And this right here is good for business.
Yes, it is.
They got niggas talking about it. Niggas up in arms about this, that, Gene Simmons tripping. This is good for business. This is very good for business. It's going to get eyes on the screen so they can sit there and talk shit. What? Look at this fucking nigga Jay-Z up here. How's he getting a headline over fucking these people? This is ridiculous.
Shit, Gene Simmons, hey, I'm about to get on the mic with Gene and be like, yo, fall back, son, I got you. You know what I mean? But I know what Gene's saying, though. I know what Gene's saying. And Gene's saying, you know, this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame shit is fraudulent. That's what he's saying. And the problem is with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just like, again, when you become fraudulent, okay, when you become fraudulent, you look like the Hip Hop Honors in a few years. Nobody gives a fuck.
Well, this is a long, short-ass topic. I'll say that.
I know, yo. I'm sorry. Because of some of the names, I'm sorry.
But,
I was outraged.
The thing about that list that you named off that really struck me is that a lot of those names of those people, they was pop. They was very popular when they was popular. LL Cool J was the hottest fucking rapper in the game at one time, and he was pop like shit. This nigga was doing cuts with all kinds of motherfuckers. He was popping shit, and he was the hottest rapper in it. There was nobody fucking with him. A lot of them names that you named of artists and shit, they was the hot shit, B. They were the hot shit.
I'm not even saying that you got to be an underground hero to get in, but what I'm saying is that you need to stop fucking throwing niggas in for a fucking commercial selling package point. That defeats the purpose.
Well, here I go.
All right, see,
My bad, Mr. Egree. I'm about to extend the topic a little bit more.
Good. Here
I am getting in this seat I haven't been in a while. I'm about to be Jay's lawyer.
Oh, God.
I haven't been in this seat in a minute. It's been a while. I'm trying to straighten it. I feel like one of those niggas over in the UK with the white wig on and shit.
Oh.
Right now.
The big wig.
The big wig and shit. So here's the issue. Jay, 1,000%, to me, deserves to be in. You think about the amount of work he's done, the years he's been in this shit. It ain't like he did 10 albums in 3 years like these new niggas is doing. The nigga, he put out a lot of albums and he put out quality work over that time. He's put out some trash, but he's put out quality work over a long period of time and he deserved to be in it. He deserved to be in there, B.
So,
I'm not front on that. But he didn't deserve to be in there before LL, neither did Tupac or Biggie.
Right. And we agree with that. And I don't think you was listening to me when I said Hov, you know, he would have got in. I did say that.
You did say that. Yeah. You said, but you were acting like he didn't, they were putting him in only because
No, and that's why they putting him in, only because who commercially carries this?
True.
That's why he's in. That's why I named all those other people first. Tina Turner, Carole King, Go-Go's, Foo Fighters, and Todd Rundgren. Okay, are they carrying this program?
No, their audience is over 60.
Okay. So with all that being said, and then that's when I started getting outraged that people playing third string. Again, Gil Scott, Kraftwerk, you know, LL, shit like that. I'm like, damn, yo, who the fuck? How can you have these niggas third string? You know what I mean? But I get it. But let me get to the next topic so people can understand. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest here. In a few years, we're going to have a bigger problem than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay? We're going to have a bigger problem than that. Okay? The Universal Hip Hop Museum is inching closer to its opening on Thursday, or a couple of Thursdays, or whenever it was, May the 20th. Several hip hop legends came down to the Bronx to break the ground through the first phase of the building of the Universal Hip Hop Museum. People who were in attendance, and I'm sure there were more people than that, but these are the people who were recognized. Nas, LL, Fat Joe, Lil' Kim, Naughty by Nature, Grandmaster Flash was there, Slick Rick was there, Michael Bevins from Belle Biv DeVoe was there, Public Enemy Chuck D was there, Chi-Rock was there, EPMD was there, as well as Curtis Blow. I'm sure there were others, okay, but they just didn't get noticed. I bet all the veterans from the 12-inch age were there, but didn't get noticed. But I digress. All right? Curtis Blow told Hip Hop DX that it's a blessing and we're finally getting closer to our goal to making this dream a reality. The 50,000 square foot Universal Hip Hop Museum is part of a $349 million project alongside the Harlem River waterfront. Okay. The first phase of the project promises to deliver, get this, 542 permanent affordable housing units. Okay. To the Lower Concourse neighborhood. Okay. Not only are they building the Hall of Fame. Okay. But they're building affordable housing for the community. Okay? See, that's how Rocky Bucano, that's how Curtis Blow, that's how hip-hop do. All right? Okay. Now, I am not going to name all the commercial niggas who didn't show up and going to want to be the first motherfuckers inducted. Okay? That's another story. But yeah, I'm saying we're going to have a bigger problem when it gets right. The first couple of years, nigga, we gonna be living in a, it's gonna be like a fantasy land for us. It's gonna be living like a fantasy land for us. Unknown niggas who only put out 2 and 3 12 inches get in, and you know, names and the Cool Hercs and all these people, you know, it's just gonna be a fantasy for us. Maybe year 5, maybe year 6, when it becomes a nightmare. You got to start considering nut niggas.
I'm thinking they're not even going to get to that level.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
they're not
even going to get to that level because it's a museum, B.
It's
not like you're calling it a Hall of Fame. You're inducting people. This is a Hall of Fame, B.
This is the de facto true school hip hop Hall of Fame, B. I don't care what you say.
That's not what I heard.
That's not what I heard.
I heard museum.
From the horse's mouth.
Okay.
As you know, Rocky's my man.
I know Rocky, your man.
It's a museum.
Okay.
It's not intended to be like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
What is it intended to do is to keep hip hop's past viable.
Okay.
So and present and future as well.
Okay.
There's a lot of interactive shit. It is a museum.
All right.
It's not a so basically you will see what you call nut niggas in there. But
you will see the Antares auto tune in that motherfucker.
You'll see somebody who we even may have forgotten about that is a major part of hip hop.
No
and
doubt.
Like, oh shit, yeah, that's, you know, like the African American joint. There is not a who's who. I mean, it's not like, oh, well, they got Martin Luther King in there. You know what I'm saying? It is a museum, and that is exactly what the okay. Universal Hip Hop Museum is.
All right.
Don't get your feathers all rustled up and shit.
When you see some nut niggas in there,
you see what's that motherfucker used to dress like a shamrock? Fucking
not a shamrock.
When you see them in there, don't get bothered, B, because they were a part of hip hop, and just like the Smithsonian, there's all kind of shit in there that don't mean it's better than something else. It's just a part of it.
All right.
we may never have a legit hip hop Hall of Fame. We may never, because everybody's gonna be pissed off. Old head's gonna be pissed off if young boys started up. Young boys gonna be pissed off if old head started up. And so it's if somebody in the middle who can understand both sides try to do it, somebody's going to say, oh, well, you catering to them, or you're catering to them. So I don't think we are ever going to experience a hip-hop Hall of Fame that we can have a consensus agreement on.
But see, the thing like that, like King Killer was saying, the early years is easy. Actually, up to probably about 99 is probably pretty damn easy.
Right.
It's pretty damn easy. From the start to 99 is pretty easy.
Right.
Of people you know that can get in. You'd be like, okay, it's solid hip-hop Hall of Famers. It's going to be some niggas that's going to be borderline. You'd be like, damn.
Because if it's a museum, you know, let's take Kurt G's premise here. Let me ride with you, son. So you're taking the early years and say, fuck it, you're taking the early years back to like that documentary Founding Fathers. And it's all kinds of park niggas who's in the parks and in the neighborhoods. The Grandmaster Flowers and all of that shit. You know what I'm saying? You got that whole history and shit that niggas don't know nothing about. I'm saying it's in the museum. And then you come in or whatever, and then you figure in all the live performances before people was making records. You know what I'm saying? You got all the Cold Crush and all of that shit, and, you know, and all the Funky 4 Plus 1, all of that shit or whatever. Then you start making records. You know what I'm saying? You know, Enjoy Records, Sugar Hill Records, you know, all that early shit. It's so easy. It's so easy. You're documenting, you're putting all this shit in. Then hip-hop starts to expand. You know what I'm saying? I guarantee you, Miami Bass is in there. And all the names that you never know about in Miami Bass, and all the Pretty Tonys, and all the Gigolo, all them niggas in Florida who was doing their thing Miami Bass style. That's very important.
Jam Pony.
Jam Pony. Exactly. Who's mad at that?
Slick Rick.
Come on, B. Who's fucking mad at that, okay? So everybody's good, right? Everybody's good. You, like you said, all the way up to 99. Shit. Philadelphia probably gets their shine in there. Obviously, LA gets their shine. We know whether it's pre-NWA, I'm sure, because Los Angeles has a very extensive electro hip hop history themselves.
Supreme Team.
You know what I mean? So I'm just saying. But now you get to 99 and shit, and you start getting really ultra popular niggas. Really. You know, but they're black men in front of a microphone, but they're really not rhyming. You know, they're selling a lot of records.
Problem, B. You're causing yourself this problem. You're doing Indeed. It to yourself.
Okay.
Doing it to yourself because they are supposed to be in a museum. Waka Flocka is supposed to be in that museum. God. It's not a matter of classes. It's not a matter of who was great. It's a fucking museum. When you go into fucking Air and Space Museum, Smithsonian Air and Space, the hottest shit probably ain't even in that motherfucker. What is in there is relics from the motherfucking U.S. military and NASA that they have flown.
Okay, look, let me tell you something. And because I'm a space junkie like a motherfucker, okay? See, what you're talking about is actual shit, okay? You know, the real hot shit is probably out at Dulles. SR-71 mm-hmm. Blackbird, mm-hmm. Space Shuttle, Concorde. Yep. The hot shit's yep. real. The real hot shit's out at Dulles. But still, mm-hmm. downtown, don't get it wrong.
It's not whack at all.
No, don't get it wrong. You got that Wright Brothers jump off, you know, Neil Armstrong. Don't front. But what you don't have, okay, what you don't have is a garden variety fucking British Airways fucking 747. Just regular service 747. See, you see, and that's what I'm talking about. You talking about motherfucker, some nut niggas and fucking Flocka. I mean, look, I ain't mad at Flocka. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying. But I'm just saying. Those niggas are just a fucking. Them niggas is just a regular fucking Airbus 320. Regular. It's 10 of them. Let's go up the BWI right now. The whole field is filled with fucking Airbus 320s.
A month of lather going on right now. Yeah, I know. Doing it to yourself.
Oh,
bitch.
The noodle. You're
what you cannot equate a fucking award situation to a fucking museum, B. What you'd be better to do
okay.
is wait. No, B. You'd be better off equating a fucking museum to a library. And then you're not going to be mad because there's fucking millions of books in the library and you don't give a fuck. You just go in the library and get what the fuck you want to get. It's going to be the same for the museum. They cannot be the universal hip-hop. There's going to be niggas from France that was rapping in that motherfucker.
And I'm not... Look, and those guys... And look, and let me tell you something. And those guys and the contingent from the UK and Tim Westwood and certain niggas going to show up and deserve at least so. But what I'm saying to me, you mean to tell me is that you gonna put a bunch of fucking yachty young jock motherfuckers in there and trying to be like, yo, them niggas is Airbus 320s, it's 100 of them at right, every fucking airport, my nigga. What's special about that shit?
Let me try one more time. I'm gonna try one more time, and then I'm gonna give up because nigga, you too far the fuck out there. But I'm gonna try.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm right, sorry. Go ahead.
You don't have a dog, right?
I do not.
Okay. Do you go in Target at all?
Target?
Or Walmart? Target, Walmart, fucking grocery store.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Every now and then.
In the fucking grocery store.
Okay, yeah. Okay?
You don't have a... Just stop. Do this. You're doing this. Use these. Let me finish. You don't have a dog. So when you go in the fucking grocery store or the fucking Target or Walmart, whatever the fuck, you don't go in the fucking dog lane to look for fucking dog food. When motherfuckers go into the hip hop museum, Universal Hip Hop Museum, if they don't give a fuck about Yachty and all of that shit, you're not going to go in that aisle, B. But that doesn't mean that aisle shouldn't be there because it's a fucking museum and they got to have the shit in there for motherfuckers that consume that shit. It's a museum. It's a place where people are gonna go look at shit for history. Not because to say like you go like you're making like the fucking NFL Hall of Fame up in Akron or where the fuck it is, Canton, Ohio, where the fuck it is. You go there, you're gonna probably be looking at, even if you didn't give a fuck about a certain player or whatever, you'd be like, oh, well, there's that nigga, whatever, because you're in the football Hall of Fame. You're not going to the Universal Hip Hop Museum. You may not go down that Yachty aisle, but it's gonna be niggas going down that Yachty aisle, and it's okay. It is okay for it to be there, yo. The Migos, all them, they're gonna be in their aisle, and you don't have to go to that aisle because you have no need to consume anything down there. Now, if you don't get that analogy, I can't help you, brother.
This nigga, he just be steaming when you mention these niggas. He like, they just airbust me. But he's 100 of them in every airport.
And there's going to be an aisle of them in the museum.
There's going to be a bunch of canned peaches in that motherfucker, nigga.
There you go. There you go.
All right, I'm going to move on to the last topic.
He didn't even acknowledge your analogy. You're like, fuck it, B. I just won't fucking go in there when they start putting them niggas in there.
Damn.
So a long time ago, we covered a topic, Childish Gambino and shit.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, we covered a topic, but I'm just going
to... Drug that shit up.
Yeah, well, the only reason why I drug this shit up because I couldn't believe it, okay? All right, Childish Gambino, Young Thug, Roc Nation, hit with copyright infringement lawsuit over This Is America. So we covered this shit. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? So I'm thinking to myself, oh, that nigga finally got off his ass. Because it was a nigga, real talk, whose song sound just like
that shit. That's
and right. That nigga
I remember when we watched that shit. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, yo, no question about it. This motherfucker biting like a motherfucker. And he needed to get sued. So I'm thinking, oh, this nigga finally got off his ass, right? So I almost came on the show and put my foot in my mouth, all right? Because it's a motherfucker by the name of Kid West. A rapper by the name of Kid West, who said that the song Made in America is from his record and is calling it practically identical. So, Kid West, it didn't sound like the same name, but I was like, it's been so long, maybe I'm bugging. This fucking trap Airbus 320 ass nigga. Sorry, I had to get that in there and shit. I don't know what the fuck he talking about, but the shit doesn't even vaguely, maybe a little bit, remind you of This Is America. But he's the motherfucker, some cat named Kid West, some trap nut nigga. Fucking he's suing Rock, and he's gonna lose and shit, and Young Thug. And I don't even know what Thug got to do with it, unless he's on subsequent remixes, and Jay and them niggas has jumped in the copyright game. I don't know what they got to do with that shit, but they're all getting sued, and it'll be dismissed. Now, to clear up any misconception, if you want to revisit that, listen to a gentleman by the name of Jazz Harley. Or J-A-S-E, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. His record is called American Pharaoh. That's the record.
Yep.
That sounds just like the Childish Gambino. So he hasn't gotten off his ass to sue yet. I don't know why. Maybe they put some money in his front shirt pocket and told him to fall back, and he did. Who knows? But this young fucking, this young Kid West nigga, it's fucking trap nigga. It's fucking whack.
This nigga boy, trap just tastes like straight ass when he say it. He's like, it's fucking trap.
So that concludes the return of the Hip Hop Digest. I apologize for the rust and shit.
Well, no. I got something I want to speak on real quick.
Oh, though, my
before
man.
Before we do get out.
All right.
Because I've been all in lately on this whole Kwame Brown thing. And I don't want to make this a long topic. I do want to make a point, though. Some of the things he's been ranting about, and I think it's getting a little long in the tooth now, Kwame, bro. Get on to the good stuff. But it opened my eyes a lot, yo, where it literally made me have to say to myself, damn, do I be saying ignorant stuff about these trap dudes out here? And it was easily fixed because we always cheer for them to get money.
Yes, we do.
We cheer for them to be successful.
We do.
We just do not appreciate their art, and we say we don't appreciate their art. So it's not us, but looking at what he's saying and who he's talking to, it's like it was like an epiphany, like, God damn, that what he's saying is true. I'm sorry, go ahead, B.
No, I glean that. But I took a different approach to Kwame's situation. Kwame was a guy who came in the league under the most difficult circumstances. Being a guy that Michael Jordan drafted, being a guy who was the butt of every bullshit personality quirk that Jordan had. Okay. but still bounced around the league long enough to play with Jordan, to play with Kobe, to play with some of the greatest ever. Okay? I think that Kwame as a man has found his voice. I think that is out of frustration for being the butt of jokes regarding somewhere north of Michael Jordan and south of Kobe Bryant. And I think that he's found his voice. I think I disagree with him just a little in the fact that for him, I think it's personal. I don't know if Stephen A. and them niggas is actually intentionally tearing down players other than, or tearing down black men other than in the fact that the same way trap, when I say the trap niggas whack, I'm only saying trap niggas in the fact that they, most of them are not MCs at a good, at a high level. I've been on this show and I have said, and I was saying, you know, offsetting them niggas when that nigga got caught up in that LA, you know, shit. I was like, look, nigga, be safe. I would like you. I don't want nothing to happen to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't want nothing to happen to none of these niggas like that Pop Smoke shit. You know, right. That's ridiculous. I want y'all niggas to continue, whether it's him or it's his wife, to overcharge companies, triple, quadruple charge the shit out of these companies. Because we got too much long history of getting jerked. I don't like how you rhyme. And that's where it starts and ends. But that's right. What I'm saying. I think we just kind of disagree. I think that he's now finding his voice as a man. And he's standing up for his, not his shortcomings, but in the fact that he was just a quiet kid.
Right. He's minding his business for all his time.
Yeah, minding his business. Right.
About the final straw. But the final straw is only one out of all the other ones that was placed on that back first. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
True. But what I will say in closing is that I remember having a conversation with my friends, whether if it's the National Football League or if it's the NBA or whatever. I was like, you mean to tell me that their union or they don't have somebody up at the league office to say that ex players are going to need special help because they really come from real hood environments.
Where is that?
There isn't. And he's probably throwing a little bit of light on that. But I always said that. I was like, with the union or the league office, you know, some of these guys need a little extra help because they're very talented, but they come from hood situations and they more than likely gonna get caught up in the hood situations. You know what I mean? So
Kwame didn't though. All that he took.
No, he did not.
All the he took, that's all they could say about him. But even with that, you think about that. 17 years old, the very first player ever drafted number one out of high school. I don't care what nobody says about his skills. He had to have some kind of talent for the National Basketball Association to allow that to happen. So, you know, it's unfortunate that it is where it is right now because I'm getting tired of it.
No doubt. I know it's going long, but still, to me, I guess the back and forth is coming because that's a mirror that he's holding up. And you're right. It may have been an epiphany, but trust me when I tell you, it's a mirror he's holding up. So if you want to play that don't tear down a black man role, then don't do it. And yeah, you can't. Yeah, but you can't. You can't. He can't do that to Stephen A or any of these other TV niggas either.
Did it at first, but now you got to relax, bro.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, I agree.
Build. You ain't got to go on their shows. Just do this building that you're talking about, because even with the Charlotte guy, you know, the New York radio station guy, everybody knew that already. And I Ben was like, how in the fuck did he get? But it is what it is.
Right.
He bring it up every time you talk, takes away even from it, even more. You know what I'm saying? So
I get it.
Think about the girl who it happened to. She's listening, yo.
Right. I want to piggyback on a little something that you said, King Killer, as far as how the NFL and NBA and these guys, they bring guys in, especially in the NFL. It's even worse than the NBA.
Yeah.
And they just go through, nigga. It's just a fucking factory over there. They're just nameless, faceless motherfuckers unless you the quarterback. You just come in and they just bring you in and just use you up. and you in and out of that bitch in 2, 3, 4 years tops. Done. And they don't, they bring you in and try to train you to do all this shit, but they don't give you any kind of motherfucking help when you leave that bitch to try, because you're a young ass man, to try to get you back out into the workforce. Like, nigga, you need a job. You got to get a job, B. You got to do something. Everybody can't be working on television doing commentary. Right. You know what I'm saying? Some niggas is going to be working at UPS or fucking, you know, managing over there, whatever the fuck. Some niggas is going to do that. And to me, the military is even worse than that. Because the military brings you in, boot camps your ass, trains you up to be a fucking killer, and then send you out in the streets when you fucking get out that bitch, and don't decompress you, don't send you through some kind of training or try to take that shit out of you to try to undo it and be like, yay, we need to calm you the fuck down. You know, this shit we trained you to do, you get ready to go into a regular situation and you can't be tripping like that. You got to be doing some other shit. First thing you need to give these niggas is psychologists and say you need some fucking... Every week we're going to send you to the psychologist to get your shit right. They don't do
that. I get what you're saying, but I also do want to say, as someone who is connected into the VA, if you have the wherewithal, the help is there. But if you don't...
Right. It's there, but they don't tell you. That should be automatic. There shouldn't be some shit you got to get to after some shit done popped off. It should be as soon as you sign the discharge papers, nigga, you heading to the psychologist, nigga. You heading over to the VA, and you're getting ready to send your ass in to get with this, get decompressed and get your ass right for the fucking world, because this shit is crazy.
It is. All of it's crazy.
Yep.
All right. So again, we hope to be better next week, since we just get back in after a long layoff. We hope to be better next week.
You know, we might have a special guest next week, too, on his birthday and pre-album release.
Oh, well, I ain't saying no more about that.
Yeah, we'll see it when we see it.
Exactly.
Oh, no. This is legit. And also, there'll be three of us in the studio next week.
Oh, see, that will be special. But look, B, you get niggas all hype and shit. Yeah, just calm down
we'll see it when we see it.
Yeah, so...
Y'all can downplay it all you want. I know it's happening, so it's all good.
So, anyway, it's Kurt G, long time coming. Kurt G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week, we got Marcus D and Pismo Bar Tough. That's Marcus D and Pismo Bar Tough. Then we got Ty Rich, Sing Wong. That's Ty Rich, Sing Wong.
All right, that's what's up. And again, we try to do it better next week. And if it's live in here next week, then you know it's going to be live. but we'll see it when you see it. So, all right, peace. I'm out.
All right, brothers.
One.
On the corner just a waste of my time, and when I realized I was the king of the rhyme, I got on the microphone, and what do you see? Ha, the rest was my legacy. I was born to be the king of the bebop swing, that has stains in my dance, big diamond rings. I own a castle in a Yahoo million in gold, cause rap is a game that I control. I'm like Shakespeare, I'm a pioneer, because I made rap something people wanted to hear. See, before my reign, it was the same old same, until the bar with the bar, that street talk game. So if you ever and make this clear, if you ever think that we're stepping out of here, you ever think you're getting up, down, around, or in, you better think again, my friend, because the door is closed and we're in town, and the only place you can go is down. Step well, on. Little pieces of a dream is all you mean since the day you stepped into the MC scene. Biting your moves, taking fake awards, saying everyone else is perpetrating the fraud. But you're nothing but a clone of my flesh and bone. Now you're trying to play grown on the microphone. But I tell you about a night, and you know I'm right, when you listen to us rocking to the broad daylight. And then you looked in the sky and you started to cuss, but then you prayed. to God that you could be like us. Then God was great and God was true when he tried to show you how to be like you. But you still didn't get where you wanted to go when you gather in a group and got your own show. Cause without the sauce, the force won't survive. But for eternity, the sauce is alive. You forgot the words of your creator, and now he's made you a perpetrator. Forever in the world of you and the girl, a few grams in a pipe to make your head swirl. You must spread the words of the master teacher, or you die by the rhymes in the streets of each. The words are a gift we will never flaunt. That's why we're gonna get everything we want. Just like a shadow in the night, I'm a sight unseen, and I'm the bona fide vocal master supreme. And I'm here to run it down for the ladies and gents. But my rhymes make dollars, plus they make sense. See, I'm down with Cowboy, you be rock the show with King Lou, Tommy Gunn, and Scorpio, Kamikaze, Clayton Savage, and Easy and Mike. You're going down in the Bronx as the king of the night. So if you're ever in a battle, I'ma make you my slave, and I'ma give you a shovel so you can dig a grave. Leave behind all your fame and wealth so you can say one rhyme, then bury yourself. I may sound possessed, but you know I'm blessed with the will to make sense of all this mess. I'm the power of the sun that shines in the sky, and I'm the only MC that'll never die. So just rock and don't stop till you hit the top. But when you see Mel and Mel, you're gonna have to drop. Rah, rah.
And not only that.
Step, 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 step off, because you gotta get lost, because you know you're soft. Step, 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 step off, because you gotta get lost, because you know you're soft.
And for all your MCs, you heard my story. I'm a super fly cone, crushing fame and glory. How I rock the children and the young ladies. I even rock the country that was overseas, because I could rock anybody from any crew, because I did it to Shaka. I'ma do it to you. I'ma show you how I rock the jaw all night long. But when I rock with Shaka Khan, I just said, a Shaka Khan, let me rock you, let me rock you, Shaka Khan. I said, a let me rock you, that's all I wanna do. Shaka Khan, let me rock you, Shaka Khan. I said, a let me rock you, cause I feel for you. A Shaka Khan, won't you tell me what you wanna do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? A Shaka Khan, let me tell you what I wanna do. I wanna love you, wanna hug you, wanna squeeze you too. So let me take you in my arms, let me fill you with my charm, Shaka. Cause you know that I'm the one to keep you warm, Shaka. I make it more than just a physical spell. I wanna rock you, Shaka baby, cause my name is Melly Mel.
Step, 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 step off, because you gotta get lost, because you know you're soft. Step, 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 step off, because you gotta get lost, because you know you're soft.
Yeah.
Step, 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 step off, because you gotta get lost, because you know you're soft.
Must be told about a man from space who required some soul. You see her, I come from Pluto, aim to make a dance, guaranteed to put the ladies in the trance. Cause I'm about to fix, got a silver dip ship. Come on in, I'll take you on a trip to Venus, Mars, Pluto. Girl, it really doesn't matter to me, cause all you gotta do is fasten your seatbelt and hold on tight as a rocket through the galaxy. Here comes the blast. Spirit DJ, without a doubt, he scratched it down deep on the planet galaxy, and he can slice any record in harmony. He's the master on the wheels of steel. Listen to him, because he's the real deal. He's cool, calm, stays real precious. You gotta listen to him, because he's real. There's a cosmic crew who wants to be known as the super house of rockin' on the microphone. We throw down hard, we'll make it shake all night, and we can rock any party to the Royal Delight. We're just a bunch of guys who like to have fun. We're gonna keep on rockin' till you all have soul, have soul, have soul, have soul.
Rock with the cosmic crew. We're gonna rock for you. We're the cosmic crew. We're gonna rock for you.
Now before we leave, I must achieve my talent on the mic to make you believe that Captain Rock is like dynamite. The only MC that will never fight. You know, the only man that can fly around the world in 4 days and take 150 girls, huh? The only man that set your mind at ease. I come to earth, I aim to please. I'm the man on the hour, too sweet to be sour. The man on the go, to fast.
best to be slow. So while the music electrifies your body, shake, 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 and party hard day. Move your feet and go side to side, and then you're doing a dance called the Cosmic Glide. Hey, throw your hands in the air and reach for the top like you really don't care. I got a vicious voice just like old times, fascinating, devastating. I got rhymes, so just stand right there, don't go nowhere, cause I've got a good thing that we can share. Lend me your ear and give me your hand, and I will take the girl to rock, rock land, rock, with rock, a rock, 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 me higher, my temperature is on the rise, but just stand there and don't go nowhere, cause here comes your sweet surprise. I'll give you love, make you feel good, send vibrations through your soul like a spaceman should, make you jump for joy, scream and shout, and party people, that's what we're all about. I don't mean to brag, I don't intend to boast, I just wanna be known from coast to coast, and I'm here tonight to propose a toast to special young ladies to stand on folks and wait for me, cause I ride so viciously. I want all the black girls to admire me, because I got style, I got class, and everybody comes when we get the pass.
We're the Cosmic Crew, we're gonna rock for you. We're the Cosmic Crew, we're gonna rock for you.
until we drop dead. And all the ladies with the symbolic dreads. Yeah. Hit me, man.
Here we go. Here we go. The beat drum drops in the back of the seats. You're cruising and rolling with my bungle beats. The blast of my bass has a rumbling sound. The snare drum kicks and the bells are down. You're chosen, not choosing on a different scale. Party rocking never stop when it starts to yell. And if you feel like fucking, just rock with me. Cause you'll be breaking and shaking with my bungle beats. You can't complete, and everything's shown up. You're gonna repeat on the mic. I'm known as the best in rock. Entertainers, demonstrators, gonna have to stop frontin' on this record that's going gold. I'm better than ever, better and bold. Even though I'm fast on the mic, I'm quick. Bone crusher getting tougher as you watch my lips. So let's dance and break on the jamming floor and listen to Captain Rock give you some more of Bungle Beats. I gotta have my Bungle. My name and the beat's complete, and you can't mess around with my bongo beats. You feel the funky rhyme as he threw it down. Backstroller always rolling all around town. You feel the funky beat as you start to strive, and the place we kick is called Riverside. That's right, y'all. You know it's true. On the mic, we're known as the Cosmic Crew. We're not dreaming, not flying in a different world. Gold crusher never rough when we grab a girl. So let's party until we hit the top. On the microphone, yes, I'm Captain Rock, and that's right, y'all. You can't compete, dancing on the floor. Yes, he's scratching down, be the George Jefferson. Ha, 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 the George Jefferson. Now do the wop. Don't ask us why and don't ask us when. Cause when he's on the mix, he'll do it again. He's king of the cut, he'll make you shake your butt. Now check out the rhymes as he starts to cut it up. Scratch, scratch it out. Scratch it out.
The sound is clear. Captain Rock is the chief, so don't have no fear. The boy is on the bongo beat. So let's clap your hands and move your feet. So let me leave your lady on a lonely spot. And everything that you get, I already got. So let's cold rock the house and turn things up. Like a winner in a race, I get the cup. So go ahead and move your feet. Go rock the house! Go rock the house! Ha! Rock!
mama said we must rock the house until we drop dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, back by popular demand, the Super Three.
Give me what you got. Ba-da-bum. Ba-ba-ba-da-bum. rock to the